A Russian connection, potential conflicts of interest, not Washington, in this next case, London. This story involves George Osborne, who served as Britain's equivalent of Treasury Secretary in David Cameron's government. It's considered one of the most powerful positions in the UK, and by the way, Osborne is still a member of Parliament for the Conservative Party. But recently, he also got a plum new job, editor of the Evening Standard tabloid, kind of London's version of the New York Post. And the Standard just happens to be owned by the son of a Russian billionaire. Osborne got the job even though he has no journalism experience at all, and he'll remain a member of Parliament. Now, we here in the U.S. are no strangers to the revolving door between media and the government. Think George Stephanopoulos, or more recently, Corey Lewandowski. Aditya Chakraborty is a columnist with The Guardian newspaper. He says George Osborne has taken the revolving door to a whole other level.
Let me put it this way. If I were to hear a dispatch in small hours of the morning that the recently purged finance minister of a small island and still one of the most senior members of the ruling party in Parliament had been installed as the editor-in-chief of the capital's leading newspaper, and that he'd been handed that job by the son of a Russian oligarch, I would tend to think that had come from some place, perhaps somewhere south of the Sahara, one of those countries that people talk about as being riddled with corruption. But it isn't. It's happening in one of the richest and most developed countries in the world, in Britain, which also prides itself as being the mother of parliamentary democracy. That's what I think is the bottom line of this episode, is it gives you a real insight in how 21st century Britain is run nowadays. And the answer to that question is actually 21st century Britain is run a lot like 18th century Britain, which is that power is wielded and handed about by a small clique of people. You've got to remember, if Tim Geithner had left office in 2013.
Former Treasury Secretary.
Yes, exactly. Former Treasury Secretary of the US had been handed the editorship of the New York Post, you know, one of the leading metro papers in America, with no experience. And not only that, he'd gone on to say, well, I can do this and I can remain an active politician. And I'm going to work one day a week on Wall Street because George Osborne is working one day a week for BlackRock, the US investment firm, on a huge salary. And I'm going to work as an academic and I'm going to do after dinner speaking. I mean, I really do doubt whether that's actually humanly possible.
Yeah, so physically exhausting, and we haven't even mentioned the potential conflicts of interest. What do you think this all says about elite positions in Britain more generally? Is there really a shortage of talent that forces politicians to become editors at newspapers?
What galls me about this is that George Osborne, as a politician, will always talk about the need for social mobility, for everyone to have equality of opportunity and to get on, no matter where they came from. Actually, the way he's been handed this job by the son of a Russian billionaire, as you said, all of that runs completely contrary to the ideals of equality of opportunity, to the idea that anyone in Britain could get on wherever they come from. The lesson of disappointment is, it doesn't matter what you know or how little you know, it matters who you know and how much power and how much credibility you can claim to hold. You've also got to ask yourself exactly what the son of a Russian billionaire might be hoping he might get in return from appointing a man who held one of the big jobs in Western politics for the past 6 years, who would have turned up at every single IMF and World Bank meeting, would have been in the G20 meetings, who would have set the course for the British government. I mean, imagine the access he now has indirectly to George Osborne's contacts.
Aditya Chakraborty, senior economics commentator for The Guardian. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marco.